Good afternoon. This audio file is designed to accompany the PowerPoint presentation on the federal government for our real archaeology class. Now, in order to understand how archaeology is integrated into federal government activities, you have to understand something about the organization of the federal government itself. In this context, when I say the federal government, I'm really referring to the executive branch of the federal government, not the Congress or the judiciary. So the executive branch is run by the president through the executive office of the president. And below the White House itself, there are 15 departments, sometimes called executive departments in the executive branch. These are major units of government. In addition to the 15 executive departments, there are also a large number of independent agencies and government corporations, including, for example, Amtrak, the CIA, the FDIC, right, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, the GSA, the General Services Administration, NARA, the National Records, National Archives and Records Administration, NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, the Postal Service, the Pension Benefits Guarantee Corporation, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Social Security Administration, the Small Business Administration, the Tennessee Valley Authority, the United States Aid for International Development, the Peace Corps, and many others. There are also a lot of boards and commissions and committees like the, for example, the Advisory Council on Historic Preservation, the Federal Geographic Data Committee, the American Battle Monuments Commission, and a bunch of others. And then there are also a number of sort of quasi-official agencies which have a very, let's say, ambiguous legal status. In other words, they're sort of only partly government agencies and are also partly private. The Smithsonian is a great example of this. The Smithsonian is federal only when it wants money, and considers itself to be private as far as the management of its own internal affairs is concerned. There are a number of others, or a few others at least, the Legal Services Corporation and so forth. The 15 departments of the federal government are listed on slide 4, and they are the Department of Agriculture, Department of Commerce, Defense, Education, Energy, Health and Human Services, Homeland Security, which is relatively new, Housing and Urban Development, Justice, Labor, the State Department, right? The Department of the Interior, the Department of the Treasury, Department of Transportation, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, some of these departments have more historic preservation responsibilities than others. It really depends on what exactly they do, or what exactly the agencies that they contain do, and whether or not they issue permits or own and manage federal land and other considerations like that. It doesn't necessarily have to do with their budget or the number of employees they have, but because of the way in which historic preservation and archaeology or archaeological responsibilities are structured by federal laws, the different departments have widely varying responsibilities for carrying them out. I'm now going to review the major agencies and discuss very briefly how they carry out their responsibilities under the National Historic Preservation Act and other archaeological legislation. Bear in mind that perhaps the most important thing for you to understand is that each agency has a specific and unique mission that hopefully doesn't overlap too much with those of other agencies. Now, it's really the mission of the agency that determines whether and how it has to comply with the antiquities laws and the other historic preservation laws. So as I say, I'm going to run quickly through some of these, the major agencies, and talk about some of their, the major departments, and talk about some of their agencies, so you get a sense of who's doing what. So let's look first at the United States Department of Agriculture. There are a bunch of major agencies within the Department of Agriculture, including things like the Agricultural Marketing Service, the Agricultural Research Service, the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, and so on and so forth. Most of them don't have a lot to do with historic preservation because they either don't issue licenses that result in any kind of archaeological excavations, or they're not managing or controlling federal lands. But there are some exceptions. There are some agencies within the USDA that do a lot of archaeology and have archaeologists on staff and have significant historic preservation responsibilities. And those include, most notably, for example, the Forest Service. The Forest Service owns and controls very large tracts of land, and they have a very active archaeology program that they call the Passport in Time program. Now, one of the interesting things about the Forest Service is that, like the Park Service and some other major land management organizations, well, the National Monuments, it was founded by Theodore Roosevelt. So not only the National Parks and the National Monuments, but also the Forest Service was founded during that first wave of environmentalism in the very early part of the 20th century and the end of the 19th century, and Theodore Roosevelt was involved. Well, the reason the Forest Service is part of the United States Department of Agriculture is that Congress, at least, if not the president, thought that if the Forest Service were part of the Department of the Interior, the Department of the Interior would have too much power and responsibility for managing public lands in the United States, because they were, you know, Interior was already managing vast tracts of federal land. And so they put the Forest Service into the Department of Agriculture. And it seems maybe like a good idea, but as a result, the Department of, as a result of being part of the Department of Agriculture, the Forest Service has sort of taken the position that national forests are really supposed to be there as tree farms. And so they either farm a lot of trees themselves, or they lease land to timber companies. And not everybody agrees that those are really conservation-related activities, which is kind of what we expect in a national forest. And unfortunately, tree farming and logging are extraordinarily damaging and deleterious to archaeological remains. I've actually excavated in tree farms, and boy, you know, you think you plow deeply when you're planting corn or beans. You plow much, much more deeply when you're planting trees. So the Forest Service has one of the most active and extensive archaeology programs, and they manage very large tracts of federal land. Another agency in the Department of Agriculture that does a fair amount of archaeology is what's called the Natural Resources Conservation Service. The National Resources Conservation Service used to be called the Soil Conservation Service, and it was founded and developed, I think, after the Dust Bowl during the Depression, when all the topsoil blew away from large parts of the United States and formed dust storms. And the Soil Conservation Service was founded, or at least expanded, in order to teach farmers good agricultural techniques that would conserve soil, which is essentially a finite and largely irreplaceable resource. At one time, the Soil Conservation Service had an office in every county in the United States. They are responsible for performing soil surveys throughout the United States, and they have done so, and the data is, in general, freely available to farmers and engineers and archaeologists. And the Soil Conservation Service was shrunk, I believe, during the Reagan administration, and so the number of offices was reduced, and they also changed the name from the Soil Conservation Service to the Natural Resources Conservation Service, although I'm not at all sure that their mission changed very dramatically as a result. the larger point is that while they don't manage a lot of their own land, they are involved in a lot of different things, and they have a lot of offices, and they do have some archaeologists and a fairly active historic preservation program. Moving on to slide 6, the Department of Commerce has, again, a number of major agencies. Most of the agencies in the Department of Commerce don't really do much historic preservation work. I mean, the Bureau of Economic Analysis, you know, is a cubicle somewhere, you know, and they don't really, they don't build buildings, they don't knock buildings down, they don't dig up archaeological sites, as far as I know. So, but there is one agency that has a fair amount to do with archaeology and historic preservation, and it may surprise you to know this, but it's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, more often known by its acronym, NOAA. Now, what does NOAA have to do with archaeology? Well, NOAA has to do with archaeology because it, with the advice and consent or with the power of the president, it creates national marine sanctuaries. And national marine sanctuaries can be nature reserves, but they can also be archaeological reserves. And if I'm not mistaken, the very first national sanctuary was created to protect the wreck of the USS Monitor, which was, of course, the very famous Civil War Union gunboat that defeated the CS Merrimack in a battle in Hampton Roads, Virginia. And the Monitor was a radically new ship design. It was, of course, the first effective ironclad vessel, really, with a rotating turret and very powerful guns. It was really a masterpiece of engineering that was, you know, decades ahead of its time. And as soon as it was launched, it made essentially all other military warships obsolete. And it sank during the Civil War in the Atlantic. And it was rediscovered in, I think, the 1960s, and they created a National Marine Sanctuary around it to protect the wreck from salvage or looting. Subsequently, many other National Marine Sanctuaries have been created, some of them for archaeology, some for nature, and some for both. And, you know, it's not insignificant because, you know, I mean, if you think about it, there's a gigantic one in South Florida around the Florida Keys, and there are lots and lots of shipwrecks there that that are protected by the sanctuary status of that. And so NOAA actually does some archaeology, and it's really done for public, because of public interest and because of scientific purposes. It's not necessarily complying specifically with the National Historic Preservation Act or other archaeological laws. They're involved in archaeology just for sort of general preservation purposes as part of their mission. Now, the Department of Defense is one of our largest agencies. Of course, it depends how you measure it. In terms of its budget, I think it probably is the largest agency. You know, and obviously archaeology is not really part of its mission, but it does a lot of archaeology because it owns a fair amount of land. It owns, I don't know, maybe 20 million acres, which is not a lot compared to, say, the Bureau of Reclamation or the Fish and Wildlife Service or the Bureau of Land Management or the Forest Service. But still, you know, 20 million acres, just let's say roughly, is a lot of land. And so they have responsibility for managing the archaeological sites on their own land. They also have a unique responsibility for managing archaeological sites on their bases abroad under, I believe it's Section 404 of the National Historic Preservation Act. American, United States agencies are responsible for complying with something like the National Historic Preservation Act when they do stuff on foreign land. And, of course, the Department of Defense also has unique responsibilities for complying with the laws that cover the preservation of cultural and archaeological sites and materials in time of war. And that is a more common problem than you would think. And it comes up more frequently than you would think. And we've already talked about it a little bit, so I'll leave it there. The Department of Education, and I'm looking at slide 8 now, has relatively few historic preservation responsibilities, and I'm not aware of anything in particular that they're involved in. The Department of Energy, whose agencies are listed on slide 9, does have some historic preservation responsibilities and some preservation activities. You may know that the Department of Energy was really created, I think, in order to manage the production and fabrication of our nuclear arsenal during the Cold War, and in part because the government didn't want our nuclear arsenal to be controlled solely by the military. You know, they wanted some division of labor and some checks and balances. And so as a result, the Department of Energy owns not only the national laboratories like Los Alamos, where the atomic bomb was developed, but a bunch of other sites that were involved in the production and manufacture of atomic weapons, like Oak Ridge National Laboratories and the Hanford Nuclear Reactor up in the Northwest and Brookhaven and other places like that. As a result, the Department of Energy has had responsibility for managing those lands and the sites on them. And many of those properties have a lot of important sites on them. And so while it's not an agency that manages huge tracts of land, it does have some historic preservation responsibilities. And of course, since many of its properties have become contaminated with radioactive or toxic wastes over the years as a result of the manufacturing activities that take place on them, you know, the management of the archaeological sites has become complicated. The Department of Health and Human Services has a number of major agencies, including the Indian Health Service and Administration for Native Americans and the National Institutes of Health and the Office of Refugee Resettlement and things like that. They must do some historic preservation because they do own and manage some properties and they deal with American Indians and things like that. But, you know, I have never heard of them doing anything and I haven't investigated it. But, you know, you would think that given my extensive multi-decadal experience in the field, I would have heard of something if they were doing something. So I don't really know what they do or how much they do. Now, the Department of Homeland Security, as you recall, was created by the Bush administration to try to centralize a lot of, activities related to the protection of the United States. And so it unified a bunch of different existing agencies in a new federal department. And it turned out to be a very large and somewhat cumbersome agency, which has been very, very difficult to manage, I think, from an executive viewpoint. And many people, I think, question how well it's been managed. It does not seem to have been blessed with the most able management either, quite frankly. Because it's a large and diverse agency, inevitably it does have some preservation responsibilities. And some of the agencies within it have, in fact, I know, undertaken various kinds of historic preservation or archaeology projects. I mean, for example, the Coast Guard owns Coast Guard bases and there are archaeological sites on the bases, and sometimes the ships themselves are eligible for preservation under some of the historic preservation statutes. And so, you know, they do stuff. I don't know how much they do. One would have to, I think, look at it agency by agency. None of the agencies, as far as I'm aware, manages very large tracts of land, but obviously a number of them do have some properties and some responsibilities under the different statutes. The Department of Housing and Urban Development, you would think, has a lot of historic preservation responsibilities because it is responsible for, like, you know, urban stuff and public housing. And in fact, it does have a lot of responsibilities. However, most of them have to do with historic architecture, and as a result, they do relatively less archaeology than many other agencies. I am going to conclude this audio file now and start a new one simply because I don't want the file sizes to grow too large.